The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hindies.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual,
host.
Host
annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls are beautiful.
Andy Hart.
You must have been following us for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, and that means it's media day. Bill Belichick had his press conference this morning, a lengthy one, and he was riffing about Pee Wee football and high school football and all kinds of stuff. That's a must-watch on Patriots.com. Tom Brady had his press conference today and pledged his trust to Danny Amendola, so you're going to want to watch that as well. Practice is ongoing, and early word is that Jamie Collins is back on the field, but Gerard Mayo is not on the field. So we'll keep our eye on that when the participation report comes out a little later today, around 4 o'clock. I don't remember Mayo going down at all, but Paul and Andy are here. Did you see anything about Mayo during the game?
Not specifically during the game, but he's been dealing with whatever he's been dealing with since the summer.
So it could be a rest thing, or it could be an aggravation thing.
You think he's just annoyed with the team and didn't want to be there? Well,
no, I don't think.
I have a question for Andy.
Yeah?
You
I'm about to be put on the spot, I feel like.
Well, you declared, I'd say at least three different guys injured during the course of the game. Was that not? I don't think that was one.
Mayo
of them.
Was not one of them.
No. Okay.
I declared Darrell Revis hurt after he hit his right shoulder on the Asiato guy.
And he came back.
I declared Rob Ninkovich to have broken his wrist at one point because he was like shaking his wrist and
didn't miss a play.
There was one other who was
Edelman.
Might have been Edelman. Yeah.
I also didn't miss a play.
I had starters dropping like flies.
All right. So
the only one I think I would be a little concerned about out of that. Based on what you saw in the field, Edelman looked like he was a little.
Yeah, the Revis one, I thought he got like a stinger or something.
And he may have, yeah.
He came out for one play and then came back, right?
No.
Oh, no?
No.
Oh, okay.
He got right back up and played. I declared he had, what did I say, separated or broken shoulder? I think separated.
What are you, Brian Morey now?
That's it
what
was a little Morey-like.
Yeah. Guy gets hurt, done for the season.
Ziggy Wolf doing the right thing.
So there's a lot to talk about here, Patriots and otherwise. Adrian Peterson, obviously the word this morning is that he has now gone on some kind of commissioner's list. Bottom line, he won't be playing.
Until, based on what I've read, the legal process plays itself out.
Right.
This is not a pick and choose.
Right.
This is until it plays itself out.
Right.
And apparently I just saw the scroll, Nike has voided his contract.
Nike has voided his contract. So, you know, this is what tells me is, as bad as what he did to this one kid, these other rumors probably have a little bit of smoke and fire to them.
It is a little weird because given everything else that's been going on, this one is now eliciting the greatest response from seemingly money-wise for him personally with Nike, but sponsors, Anheuser-Busch came out and said they were monitoring what the NFL was doing. They're a big one.
Well, this,
think of how many of those ads on the Super Bowl are Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
Think of how many times you look and it's Bud Light or something in the
right.
I mean, that's a big bleeping
one. It's a big one, and I think this one, you know, really got hot real quick because the guy was still playing, you know, whereas Rice, you know, he's
could
not
be.
Playing, you know.
Could be.
So he's not playing, and you know, Radisson had already said that they're not going to be a sponsor anymore, and I noticed in their press conference today, there is no sponsor in their backdrop in Minnesota. It's just Vikings.com and their logo.
Good call.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You know how we do Take Tuesday, Paul, on the website for something from the game? I think the NFL has sort of instituted that in everything they do. Take two. We're going to try this over again.
Right.
Sort of not all that important, but a little bit of a side. Do you think that team should do that? When they have something bad like that that they're talking about, you know, maybe take the sponsorship
Absolutely.
Down?
Yeah. I mean, as a sponsor,
well,
thank you.
No,
thank you for doing that.
Obviously, the sponsor would want it down, but
it just seems obvious to me.
I mean, the only reason you do that is because you're getting paid by the sponsor. So do them the favor and take it down when it's this type of news.
To me, that doesn't seem like something you needed to go to 4 years of PR school or have like a, what do they call them, the crisis manuals.
Now, on the other hand, what I don't approve of is when these teams censor, you know, or omit stuff from their transcripts and things like that, you know, press conferences. That should be clear as day, transparent. Some teams do that. They don't, or if it's something like this, they don't, you know, they don't put out the transcript that day. Or
That's not really right either.
It isn't.
If we transcribe everything, then you transcribe everything.
Absolutely. So I'm not in favor of that. But when it comes to a sponsor, you know, that's not part of the news. So yeah, take it down. You know, do them a favor.
Yes.
What else do we have to talk about?
Chandler
today?
Jones. You get to that.
Chandler Jones, AFC Defensive Player of the Week.
First time the Patriots have had one of those since Andre Carter in 11.
Wow. Wow. So there you go. We found your playmaker, Andy, on defense.
Well, we might have found a few.
Yeah?
We might have found a few.
Okay.
Yeah, I know everybody likes to paint me as Mr. Negative, but I have said all along, I didn't buy that this was automatically a great defense, but I thought there's the potential for a lot of these guys to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have Jamie Collins last week, but I think he's in that athletic mix. Unfortunately, if this is going to be a thing, because I've been intrigued since the summer, since we saw Collins and Mayo line up and they were doing a lot of twists and blitzes and stunts and things in the A-gap. You know, we've heard about that for so long over, you know, this A-gap, double A-gap feels like something Gruden always talks about.
Right.
Well, now we were doing it. And now both, you know, one missed the game and one's missing practice.
Is this the result of just the coaches saying, all right, we got to start doing this and giving in? Or is it, you know, Revis, you know, being that transformative player and Jones getting, you know, saying, okay, now we can do it because he's a little older and wiser? And
I think it's probably a little bit of both. And I take some heat because I give Patricia some of the credit because I, you know, Bill to me has been so entrenched in his ways for 40 years. If I see new creative stuff, I'm going to err on the side of maybe Patricia's having a little yapping in his ear.
I think Bill's as creative as any of them. If there's going to be any new things in the league, it's probably going to come from Bill Belichick. He's the one.
Like what?
Any
just give me a for example.
Formations, rule changes, suggestions. I think
because I actually think it's the one glaring hole in his resume, quote unquote. I think he's not been very innovative at all. I don't think he's brought a lot to the league when you compare him to Bill Walsh's and Paul Brown's and any of these great coaches. You know, even we got a Jimmy Johnson, we got a freaking draft chart we still use.
Well,
I don't know what Bill has brought innovatively, if that's a word.
I think
not sure.
I think if you ask other coaches and players that his game plans week to week are some of the more creative in the league.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's true.
I would agree with that.
I think they're more versatile and they change more than most.
Right.
I'm not sure how creative they are.
I think they have creative game plans, but I don't think they're using schemes that are things that he developed.
Well, I think
what Andy's talking about is different things.
I mean,
he's
not coming up with the West Coast offense. Absolutely not. But
well, that to me is that's creativity.
Yeah, no, but
doing something that hasn't been done is creative.
But it's also taking stuff that's done and using it in different ways is also creative.
You know? See, I think that he's good at that. I think he's good at saying, hey, remember when we did something? We did this back in like 78, and this really worked against this kind of thing. He has an impeccable mind, I think, for that kind of stuff. But I agree with Andy in terms of middle school. today. But yeah.
So the next
time
he says,
Andy,
I don't remember, don't believe him.
there's nothing he doesn't remember.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need, this is an off-season debate, sort of on his legacy and his imprint. The bigger issue is, A, what are they doing defensively? Are we going to see it trend toward multiple sacks and pressures and hits and aggressive play up front is going to work? Because you should have another opportunity this week.
Oh, yeah.
This is a team that hasn't run the ball
well. I was just
going
to say,
rookie quarterback.
Do you kind of wish they were playing a better team this week? Just, you know, from an analysis standpoint.
No.
I mean, I'm happy to have the Raiders come into town so that we can throttle them, but I want to know what who we have here. As
Why do you need to know in the third week of the season who you have?
The sooner the better.
Yeah, I disagree.
No?
I think you have a nice schedule here to sort of build, to build comfortably. Bill's whole thing, it's not where you start, it's how you improve compared to other teams. I think you have a nice little foundation of improvement to go through here.
Okay.
Because I got to tell you, I think if you had a hard schedule, you'd be
right over there?
Up Poops Creek without a paddle.
Well, I mean, what
controversy practice?
Oh, among the Eric's here. Just
oh, among the media.
Oh, fresh off.
Boy, that phrase really took my interest in
fresh
that.
Fresh off the practice field, Eric Scalavino.
Controversy may be a little strong. There's a discrepancy as to who was and wasn't there.
Is this involving Mayo?
No,
which wouldn't seem to be up to interpretation.
No, we all agreed Gerard Mayo was not at practice, but there was a new guy.
Some people thought Brady was there, others didn't.
There was a new guy wearing number 41, and with yesterday's announcement about the practice squad changes, I looked on the practice squad list, and there was nobody with 41 on the practice squad. So I'm going through my attendance, and I'm checking off everybody on the practice squad, and I'm missing number 81, Tim Wright. So I'm concluding that Tim Wright was cut to make room for this number 41, because I have everybody on the practice squad. Some of my fellow media colleagues say we had Tim Wright, but we didn't have one guy on the practice squad who I clearly saw. So we're a little bit...
So it's you against the world out there.
Is it? Is it?
It is.
Wow.
It's me against the world.
No offense, Eric. I'm with the world.
The world usually comes to me and asks
but is there a
for
chance,
attendance.
Is there a
so you should go with me.
Is there a chance that a 41 could have been mistaken for an 81?
No, because the 41 was down at our end. He was... clearly visible.
Okay.
We all agreed there was no 51 and there was a 41.
And the
only discrepancy
new guys,
is who was the person cut to make room for 41.
The new guys in the practice squad, one was an offensive lineman, correct?
One was a defensive lineman and one was Fleming.
Correct.
So none of them would be 41.
No.
Right. But I didn't know if they made another move since then.
No, I get it.
So,
but I'm eliminating 41 as being a practice squad guy then.
I just
unless they made another practice squad move.
That's what I was thinking. And
I just find it fascinating if for some reason Tim Wright's gone.
Well, it is funny because they
we had to trade Mankins to get to
he would
Wright.
Have only
well, here's the
he
thing.
Would have only fallen 77 short of Field Yates' prediction for him.
Here's the thing that's a little odd. They gave out black jerseys this week for the first win of the season for the practice squad players. So, and as you know, the way they stretch, offense is all wearing white, defense is all wearing black, and the defense was closest to where the media is as they stand in the line. I did not see.
It would seem that we're having some type of fire alarm here. What happens in a radio show when they have a fire alarm in the building?
I wait, and then they usually come in and tell me to get the F out, and then I run.
Okay.
But they're saying to remain calm, so I'm remaining calm.
Okay, and that's what we'll do.
Proceed, Eric.
So anyway, I was looking down at that end, and I saw... it's pretty obvious if a guy on offense has a black shirt because he stands out among the white shirts. And I only saw one guy or two guys in black shirts. One of them was Josh Boyce, who's on the practice squad. The other one that I saw was 35, Jonas Gray. And my colleagues insist that it was 81 who was wearing the black shirt. And I looked and looked and looked and did not see him anywhere. And so there's a little bit of we'll find this out. We're making way too much out of this, obviously, but because we'll find out about it soon enough. But the point is, there was no Gerard Mayo. There's a new guy wearing 41, and somebody has been bumped to make room.
Now
for
our show started at 12 o'clock. Practice started at 12 o'clock.
10 of.
Okay. Is there any chance Bill Belichick pulled this fire alarm on us?
Because he knew we were going to report
right.
on the practice.
Yeah. All right, so I don't know. What? I guess we'll just keep going.
But the big news. The big news is.
You want me to go down to security?
Yeah,
go to security. I'll come back.
All right.
The big news is a guy who played Sunday and talked to the media Sunday after the game was not at practice, and that guy was a co-captain, Gerard Mayo. And I don't recall. He didn't look hurt. He seemed fine when he was talking to us.
The only thing I said earlier is maybe.
Oh, and Jamie Collins was back.
Oh, what about the baby? Field. Is the baby coming?
Oh, yeah.
Gerard Mayo?
Ah.
But he also had that other. There was something in the preseason. Remember, yep. He asked Bill, and I
right.
feel fine.
But he is expecting a baby. I know
right.
that.
Or he could have tweaked something that just needs monitoring.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And
the other,
not ideal.
The other good news, though, is that Jamie Collins, who missed portions of Thursday and all of Friday, was back and missed the Vikings game, obviously, was back on the field.
Yeah, that's good.
That is good. At least we'll have one of our athletic inside linebackers.
Yep. All right.
Bad news is the siren keeps.
Should you have a siren in a radio studio? Couldn't you have, like, one in the booth and that person tells
the person? I think when they built the building, this one didn't exist, so.
They also know that our producer is not often in the booth, so.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Apparently we have to go.
We have to go. All right, so can
we
you play some music?
Yes.
Can you run some music?
Sandwiches.
Yeah, run some music, Kevin, so that people know that we're not dead. And we'll be back as soon as they let us.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York,
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again. Two shows in a row. Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
And we are back from a fire drill, but unfortunately, we lost Paul.
His old ticker just couldn't take it.
Yeah. But no, he has gone to do some filming, a bigger and better camera. He saw, so he is gone. But we're back to the show. Yeah, I guess it was just a fire drill. I mean, the ambulance pulled off, but no one was wheeled out. So.
No. And there's a lot of construction and stuff going on. Who knows?
Someone could have hit something.
Or they're trying to sabotage our show.
Yep. Sorry about that, folks. But we are back. Andy, Eric, me, Kevin in the booth. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Tony writes in, why can't this happen to DNC and Felger and Mavs? According to Kevin, it has happened at EEI during the midday show.
Well, here, right?
Yeah, right.
For EEI, here.
Right. All right, so what were we talking about when we...
Practice.
The great debate.
Right.
It's not that great.
Anybody tweet about it, clarifying it?
But I'm trying to see if the Patriots account tweeted out, because they've often tweeted out who the practice players are. So that would help, because I had Jonas Gray as one of the practice players.
Jonas Gray.
Jonas Gray and Tim Wright aren't really built the same.
No, they're not.
One's a short, big-armed, stocky guy, and
one's
a big,
tall,
lean...
receiver-like player. Yeah.
So if you're wrong, you're going blind.
All right, well...
Of course, if they're wrong, they're going blind.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. While we were outside, Trey from Memphis has been holding on the ace ticket hotline. Hey, Trey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, better now. We're back in from the fire alarm, so we're ready to do this show.
Although I can report a beautiful day outside
sure
here in Foxborough. If you're going to have a fire drill,
gorgeous.
This was the day
this
to have a fire
day.
Drill.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Trey.
What the hell happened? Brady got mad because somebody ran the wrong route. Just went crazy.
Could be. The team is practicing up on the upper practice fields while we were out there. We couldn't see anything, thankfully, or we would have been shot. But, they're out working out right now.
Okay, well, man, I'm trying to find out, though, some more than one positive spot about the game. I guess the only thing that I'm really happy about is that, you know, our kicker seems to be on point. I mean, well, he kicked, what, a 340-plus yarders on Sunday?
Yeah, two. He had a 47-48, I believe. He had, I think, 4 of 7 in the end zone for touchbacks. Kostowski had a nice game.
Well, I would add the defense in there, Trey. I know it's only Castle and no Adrian Peterson, but they dominated. After that 7 points early in the game, they didn't score again.
Yeah, well, hey, let's just see what happens when we face some real competition.
I'm with you, but,
you can only beat the team you play.
Right. You know, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I'm not going to start blowing smoke right now, man. You know, running around hot about, okay, we're top 10, top 5 defense. So, I guess, man, I want to kind of pick on our quarterback a little bit, man. Ooh. I'm trying to figure out what the hell, man. what is it that other receivers on everybody else's team is doing right instead of ours? I mean, we got a stable of, how many receivers do we have? Like, seven, eight? Six, seven?
About six.
Yes. Yeah. But your greater question
to one.
Your question is right, and I just happen in front of the TV screen is Peyton Manning, and you look at him as another example. Well, Welker's out, so they bring in your guy Fred,
Emmanuel
and he makes
Sanders.
Plays. Emmanuel Sanders. You know what is it that Peyton Manning can do that Brady can't?
I feel like, man, we need to just sit all our receivers down. Okay, man. What are you comfortable with? What are you not comfortable with? I mean, that's why you have film sessions, and that's why you have meetings. You're not going to sit here and tell me that Brandon LaFell can't do something that we do right. I mean, he can do something. I mean, you're not going to tell me that this guy is just some kind of dumb dodo.
I think, and, yeah, I hear what you're saying, Trey. I think it comes down to Brady's adjustments. I think that's what screws up the receivers.
So Peyton Manning doesn't do any of that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying,
not like Brady.
Talking about football.
Good point. We are talking about football. This is not rocket science. This is not nuclear energy.
Right. I mean, we're talking about football, and something Brady's been playing since he was a kid. I mean, all of those guys. I mean, so you. I mean, I'm just saying, man. I watched Amendola several times. I mean, you know, when he wasn't a Patriot, man. And this guy made plays. I watched this guy literally destroy the 49ers secondary. I mean, and Kelly Clemens was throwing him the football. So you mean to tell me Tom Brady can't find out some kind of...
I did not do that.
No, Kevin did. I saw him actually hit the button. He just actually hung up on Trey.
Yes.
I watched you hit the button.
Sorry about that, Trey. We'll get you,
you
next time.
You seemed like you were rounding out your call, though, anyway. But, you know, it's funny. The Sanders one would have been interesting. Had we gotten Emmanuel Sanders and he failed here and then he goes to Denver, he could have been like a perfect one-year window guy. But I do. But it's not like no one ever works, right? There have been examples.
Right.
Jabbar Gaffney came in and, like, right away, you know, was on the same page. The whole 07 team came in, and right away they worked with Moss and Welker and even Stallworth. And, you know, the rookie tight ends, although Christian Fourier has talked a lot about how the tight end position is easier sort of than the receiver. But there have been guys that have worked, but there's been a lot of guys that haven't worked. And what is the difference? Is it a scouting issue? They're not bringing in guys that fit the system? That feels a little weird. It feels like Brady plays a role in this on some level.
Well, he said today, I need to do a better job distributing the ball.
Yeah, I know. I didn't really...
you didn't buy it.
I wasn't really buying what he was selling today. I'm not going to lie.
No?
No. I felt like he was saying what he thought he should be saying rather
body
than
language?
Emphasizing and really believing it.
Why weren't
it.
You buying it?
He didn't own it.
No?
He wasn't owning it.
Yeah.
He needed to, like, Stephen A. Smith it and really, I need to do a better job. You know, he needed to go all in. And
yeah, but that's not Tom Brady.
He pussyfooted through it, I thought.
All right, let's
do you believe him?
I didn't actually see the press conference, so I don't have the visual that you
I mean,
did.
This is the guy, you know, remember the whole clip of, that wasn't my vote, it was this. Which one? Oh, the one about, like, he doesn't always see things through the lens of reality. He sees them through the Tom Brady lens.
All right, Eric's in New Jersey. He's on the line. Hey, Eric.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Right, first and foremost, love the show.
Thanks.
Hey, guys, I just want to get into, kind of harp a little bit on the two situations. One with the Trey was speaking about prior, about, like Amendola, LaFell, why, I don't know how practice day was this, for example, they get 25 reps in the first team. I understand Edelman has more of a rapport. He's been there for a while with Brady, so why wouldn't it behoove them to get, say, maybe Dobson about eight of those reps? You know what I mean? LaFell, five of those reps. Kind of get to build more of a rapport, because I feel you plateau. This offense can only do so much when you're locking in on Edelman, and when you go down to Gronkowski, even though he's not playing at 100%, I feel like offense is plateau. You can only do so much. I feel if you don't get these other guys acclimated and you come in to make them, like your Edelman and Gronkowski, more lethal, that the fact that you have a third and fourth option to go to rather than just locking on these two, because it gets disgusting. I mean, both second halves, I mean, last week kind of the penalties and stuff like that setting down and distance kind of had an effect on that. But, I mean, it gets kind of atrocious just watching. I mean, is it flag football just a two-man show?
Yeah, I mean, maybe if the Patriots hadn't had a comfortable lead in the second half this Sunday, maybe we would have seen more passing and more distribution. But, I mean, Brady said it today. He wouldn't have said it if it's not an issue. Whether he believes it or not is another thing, but someone's telling him that.
Well, Bill Belichick said it yesterday. We have a lot of, I forgot exact, good players that we need to get the ball to. The practice thing, though, to me is interesting. I have never seen Danny Amendola, or very rarely seen Danny Amendola look out of place, uncomfortable. He's had
in
two
practice?
Very good training camps here in New England.
He has.
We've seen guys out, you know, I would say at times Kenbrell Tompkins looks out of sorts, out of place. We certainly know that Ocho Cinco and Brandon Lloyd and Joey Galloway.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of these glaring examples of when Danny Amendola just doesn't fit in, doesn't know what he's doing, isn't on the same page with Brady from training camp. It just, he's had two very good training camps, in my opinion, and yet it doesn't translate into comfort within the offense and with Brady.
Yeah, it's mystifying.
It is.
It really is, because, like you said, those other guys you mentioned, we had seen times when we were like, what are they doing? They're not on the same page or whatever. And so it wasn't that big a shock when they let Joey Galloway go or when Ocho left and didn't develop. But Amendola's been pretty good in the two times we've seen him in summer camp.
All right. Thanks for the call, Eric from New Jersey. Let's go to Dave from Chicago. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Quick question. I think you guys are right, and Paul touched on it yesterday about talking about how Brady has not really been getting everybody on the same page with him. I think Brady's been more of like, it's my way or the highway. You're either going to be on the same page or you're going to go. I don't think he's been kind of putting his guys and kind of acquiescing to the way that they perform on the field. I don't think Brady's wrong for doing that. He's one of the greatest ever for a reason. The first game of the season, they got tired in the second half, and they lost, and they kind of broke down. Second game of the season, second half, they were ahead by a lot. I think they were kind of milking the clock and just getting the win, and Minnesota was basically letting them, basically gave up in the second half. Going forward for the next two games, Oakland, Kansas City, that's a blessing right now, because next 10 games are going to be tough. Buffalo's a lot better this year. The Jets, even though they blew it, they're a lot better this year. Then you have Cincinnati, Chicago, Denver, Indianapolis, Detroit, Green Bay, San Diego. This is a tough schedule coming up. And I think, Fred, I don't think we want to get tested too soon right now. We need to get a couple playmakers back after week four, and hopefully Tim's can come in and be that guy. Right. What do you guys think?
Well, I think if we're counting on Tim's to save the season, then we are SOL.
But I don't mind getting tested early and having whatever is wrong with this team being shown under the bright lights so that we know and we can work on it. You know, I want to have it all show up now.
Well, it has shown up, and you're 1-1.
Yeah.
You've done nothing in the second half of two games. You haven't been consistent enough on offense. You haven't started well or finished well in two games. But if you had done that against two really good teams, you might have got blowed out twice.
Well, I guess when we were talking about it before, we were talking specifically about the defense. We wanted to see really what kind of defense we had.
Now, the defense, I'm a little bit more comfortable testing now just because I think you are who you are. You pretty much have, except for Browner, you pretty much have your pieces kind of see how you're going to play things, do things. Offensively, you hope you aren't what you are. You hope you're sputtering a little out of the gates here and going to be more than that.
Tony says that Bedard, Greg, that would be, said Amendola wasn't open Saturday, and Zoe said today that he runs routes okay but doesn't make the sight adjustments.
That's probably part of it, no question.
Yeah, he does.
That is the major flaw with every receiver that comes here, those adjustments.
He seems to, I've never seen him like completely botch a route. He seems like he can get open.
Yeah.
But if he's not if he's not on the same page with Brady as far as that goes, then that's a reason why Brady's not going to look to him.
Yeah.
And why?
Also, I think Brady just is far too comfortable with Edelman and Gronk.
Right.
With good reason. I mean, they are reliable guys for him. So,
but if he wants to win, he has to understand that's not enough. You invest early. What does Bill always, you put it in the bank and withdraw from it later or whatever. That's what he needs to do if he's going to have guys ready in January and February.
You remember earlier in the press conference with him today when the topic of the perfect offense came up? And somebody said, would you prefer to just be spreading the ball around like the Spurs in the NBA? I wanted to ask him, but we got, the last question cut off there. I wanted to ask him if and when he ever felt like he was close to that and what his response would have been. Because if he was going to say, 03, 04, maybe even, 07,
yep.
I think that would have been telling. Because that was back in the early days when a lot of people who are criticizing him now said he would just go through his reads and find whoever was open and throw them the ball. Now, he's gotten older, you would think he's gotten smarter, but he seems to be focusing on he seems to be doing what a rookie or a young quarterback would do.
Right.
Locking in on the guys that he is comfortable with. Whereas an older quarterback, you might say, he goes through his progression, he makes the right read to whoever's open, and he throws that person the ball.
Well, remember, like, I keep remembering one of them was a David Givens catch where he, like, went from right to left and then all the way back right to get Givens on, like, the sixth read.
And
just that kind of stuff you have in your mind from when Brady's at his best.
Well, I guess I need to look closer, but is there a chance that, again, we talked about this a little yesterday, the call coming in from McDaniels calls for LaFell or Amendola, and Brady looks quickly and he didn't make the right adjustments. So immediately he goes to back to Edelman, because the guys that are the hot read or the guys that are the, you know, the number one read just didn't do it right. And Brady recognizes that so quickly that it seems like he's not going through his progressions, but he really is.
Sure. And you've also had times when you've had a fullback and an extra tight end on the field that those aren't weapons. Those aren't part of your read. So you're limiting your options already. And now Gronk was, I don't think Gronk and Fleming were on the field a lot together, but you know, if you're in a fullback and a tight end power running offense, well, there really are only two receivers and Edelman's one of them. And
right.
So it's kind of a 50-50 chance. Do I throw to him? And I think there are a lot of issues like any of these stupid things we debate. It's not one specific thing, but I also don't just let Brady off the hook, because I do think there's enough of a track record to question his ability to fit in with new and young receivers.
Indoctrinate them.
Yes.
Chris with a TIAN is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. I think it is like a combination of things, like you guys say. And, you know, I look at sort of like the modern offense with the two tight ends in its heyday, when they were like a pinball machine in 10, 11, and 12. And they had three viable options. I mean, they had Hernandez, Gronk, and Walker, all guys capable of catching the ball and winning one-on-ones. And they don't have those. Gronk isn't healthy, and really the only play you have is Edelman. But I think it's a player thing, but it's also a developmental thing. Like, they just haven't had a good track record with wide receivers, and it's almost like the safety position. They haven't developed players at those positions. They've usually had to go out and get them. That's how I kind of look at it.
But you say they don't have those weapons, but he's not trying to have those weapons. He's not trying to bring Brandon LaFell zero targets this week.
Yeah, and that's why I certainly lay some of the blame at Brady's feet, because, you know, I sort of get, you know, I sort of understand what you said about sort of him providing lip service today. Like, I saw that press conference and I didn't buy it either. I just think he's sort of like saying what you need to,
right.
You know, what you really, I just think a guy in his 15th year, is that only 15 years, you know, to get him to change his ways, even though he's a team guy and you know, it's all about the team, to get him to change his ways, and you know, instead of say, you know, you drop the ball, you suck, I'm not going back to you, is hard. And
right.
that's up to Bill and Josh to get him to say, hey, you know, this is what we have here, so
right.
Go to them.
Right.
Yeah, but is he bigger than them?
Brady?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I just, with the way that the dynamic works, I don't know.
I think his opinion has a lot of weight. And I think if, but again, we go back again to yesterday's conversation. If, you know, if you want the evidence to bring to your offensive coordinator and your coach, throw it to them a few times and show them that they're not doing it right.
Well, he had 0 for 6 with LaFell in the opener.
Yeah.
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 So, I mean,
know,
if,
so maybe it was like, I went to him 6 times and look what happened. Nothing.
Right.
I'm not going, you know. And
wasted 6 throws. I only got so many throws left in me.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean,
wait, I thought he was playing for 10 more years.
Well, yeah, that's true. He can't say that. But no, I his opinion, there's a difference between his opinion in the meeting room with Josh and Bill, then it carries a weight. When his opinion's on the field, it's the only opinion that matters, because he's the guy with the ball deciding where the ball goes.
Right.
So
yeah.
there may be a difference between the discussion on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and the quote unquote bullets are flying on Sunday and what he's going to do.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, and he can get out there and be like, yeah, listen, I know we practiced for this, and I know you said that they were going to run this, but they're running that, and I have to do this.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I also think, too, I think it's sort of everybody in the media, too, we're kind of making all really, it's really, really complicated. Like the last call I just said, it's football. You know, it's football.
Right.
You got to get the ball to the guy that's open. And I'll leave you with this question. Is the offense too complicated for guys to pick up?
I don't know. I mean...
I don't know.
Is Julian Edelman some kind of rocket scientist?
Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez.
I don't think so.
Jabbar Gaffney. It's the same offense over the years that guys have come in and boom.
Wes Welker instantly picked up the offense. Moss picked up the offense.
Welker was a little different.
Well, Moss is I'd say.
These days, he might not pick it up so quickly.
But Moss is a football.
Savant.
Savant. He gets it.
But I mean, even
Let's not compare.
Is Gronkowski a savant?
But I think
is Aaron Hernandez a savant?
But I think there
everyone
has to be
picked
some
up that
type
year
of
picked it up.
Yeah, I think there has to be some type of meeting in the middle by Brady. You know, not to pick on LaFell, but okay, I've worked enough with LaFell off the field to know. Okay, here's his tendencies. Here's when he sees something. This is what he's going to do, and it's not just when I see it. This is what I want him to do. And kind of understanding your receivers a little bit too, and meeting them halfway. And maybe he's not willing to do that at this point, and it might come to the point where he has to.
Well, but part of that process is on the field too, no? The idea that if I invest in September, it might pay off in January.
Sure.
And again, I get back to the Brandon Lloyd or even the Chad Ochocinco, the investment versus the payoff, and that's why we brought you here and all that crap.
Right.
Maybe he's been burned too many times, and now he's like, I'm not listening to you guys.
I'm not doing it.
You told me to invest in those two, and those two stunk.
Yeah, but okay.
Can't be that way though.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, Christian.
Cutting off his nose despite his face.
Another Christian from Philly writes in. The email is titled PFW's Awful Hypocrisy.
It's probably accurate.
Hey guys, why do you keep saying we paid Amendola $30 million when we all know NFL contracts are fake and that what we actually gave him was $10 million and cut anytime after that? You guys make fun of people that gave the Niners heat for handing Kaepernick $126 million when in reality only $13 million is fully guaranteed, but constantly say we invested $39 million in LaFell and Amendola when in reality it's $13 million. That's three times less than what you're saying. So which is it? Did the Niners and the Patriots overpay their players, or are Andy and Paul, mostly Andy, purposely being misleading on Patriots contracts?
Well, I wouldn't say it's purposely misleading. But he's right. He's right.
Yeah.
He's not going to get $30 million.
No.
He could have if he'd been good.
Not at this rate.
Right.
No.
If he had been good, he could have.
Yeah.
But he's not going to get $30 million.
Right.
But I think the point you're trying to make, Andy, when you say that, is that the team felt good enough in a player like that to give them potentially that much money.
Right. It's kind of like, Adalys Thomas didn't get his $35 million.
But they believed in him.
Right. Or
enough to do that.
Whoever. Logan Mankins didn't get his $55 million.
When you sign a
Vince
guy,
Wilfork didn't get his $42
million. And whatever,
but you invested that amount of money. You potentially
and whatever
invested
that it was, they made the best offer that the market was making at that time for that player.
Right, because they didn't want to lose him to Philly, maybe was interested,
right.
Or I forget exactly.
Because, when you sign a player, any player, you're not expecting him to be bad.
Right.
You're expecting him to live out the contract that you signed with him, or else why would you sign the guy?
Yeah. You're hoping at some point the contract becomes a good deal.
Because if the guy's good, you're going to have to pay him. Like, if Logan Mankins were dominant right now, I think they would be paying Logan Mankins,
right,
the length of the deal.
Yeah.
The problem with most NFL deals is the length and the money. At some point, a halfway through,
the deal lives out the player's effect.
That's why.
Yeah, it's a crossroad. How much is he worth? How much has he dropped his value?
And that's why, and we laugh at it and criticize
it. The emailer is right.
When you get a good player in the second round or lower first round, it's such a good value because then you can extend him before he gets to the end. And then you're always ahead of the curve paying a Pro Bowl player, not quite the Pro, that the top of market money.
But my greater point is, he's right. He won't make $30 million, but they made him a $30 million receiver. They invested $30 million in him. They wanted him to the degree of a $30 million contract offer.
They would rather have given him that money than Wes Welker.
Right.
Let's see. Brad in Maine, I just wanted to weigh in on the Rob Gronkowski situation. I know that he hasn't looked at his best in the last few games, but in my opinion, that is to be expected. I fully expect him to get better as the season wears on, provided he can stay healthy. I think people are expecting too much out of him this year. They want to see the record-breaking Rob Gronkowski, and that's just not feasible. I just wanted to see how you guys felt about his limited snaps. I personally agree with them limiting his play and easing him back into the lineup. I was also happy to see that Brady didn't try to force too many throws to him like he did last week. I feel like if they were to keep forcing him the ball, like Edelman, he was going to get hurt. I also would like to shout out to Chester and Christian for always bringing it when they call. Those guys are great and really represent PFW Nation well. There you go. Christian and Chester getting a little shout out from Brad in Maine.
I think the game plan, now that they're tied together, but I think the game plan kept Brady from forcing throws to Gronkowski because early on he wasn't on the field and wasn't a part of it, and they had Cameron.
If Brady
Fleming
was trying to come back, he probably would have been trying to force the ball.
Right, and you might have seen those targets and everything rise up. Now, did he say we're never going to see the record-breaking Gronk again?
No.
I thought he said that because I don't agree with that necessarily. We may not. But I don't rule it out.
I think he said people are expecting to see that right now. It's not feasible.
That's probably accurate. I was probably a little too much in that category of when Gronk's on the field, he's great. And he's not great right now.
Let's go to the phones. Tyrone's in Delaware. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, I want to get into this here. I heard you guys yesterday talking about, well, Fred, I want to address this to you, Fred. You was talking about you was worried about the offense. I was kind of stunned because usually, you know, you said the offense going to be fine, but I've been worried for the offense for a long, I would say a couple of years back. And, you know, a lot of fans, like when fans was calling up after the week one loss, you know, not myself personally, but other guys would say, well, you know, the team is not good, whatever they can. And then as soon as they win, other fans jumping on the other fans that says, well, the team not going to, you know, it's not that good. It's all, you know, you're switching. But having not we seen this story like 7 out of 8 seasons where if nobody don't study the team, you know, where we are, we will win some games or we'll turn it around, win some games. But all the point of the matter is what I've been screaming about for years and years. Those receivers are no good. That's point blank. Point and simple. It is no way to. I don't know why you're sugarcoating it or trying to run around it. They're not as good. That's why probably Brady's not going to. Because whenever I ask Brady to throw the ball, they're barely open. The only person really that's getting separation from the defender is Edelman. Other than that, I mean, these guys are no good. I mean, just plain and simple. And another thing I want to add is that. You know, look about the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks and the coaches. You don't need, you know what I'm saying? That's why I feel sorry for Brady. Brady needs to be on a team where they got a strong running game, a strong defense, because he can't do it. He's not that Brady from 07, 08, or probably 07, 09. He's not that Brady no more. You know, and look at the quarterbacks that have been winning Super Bowls. They're okay-ish, they're Eli Manning-ish, Flacco, Eli Manning, you know, Big Ben, no elite quarterback having won a Super Bowl since Peyton Manning did in, that wasn't no like great one, well, Rodgers actually. Wow. That's been a while ago, and like I said, it's the personnel decision. And I want you to think about something. Which one, to me, a general manager that makes good personnel decisions, like, you know, like my man Chip Kelly got Sproles. Sproles was a you improve. A general manager that's doing the personnel is more important to me than a good or great coach. Because look at the coach. Pete Carroll, to me, is not a great coach to me, but I think he's a better general manager because, shoot, anybody.
Well, he's not the general manager there.
I know, but I think he has some input.
Well, sure, but he's not the guy. He's not the personnel guy.
Okay. Well, granted, but. Look at the coaches that won. They're not, to me, in the last 6-7 years.
I get you. Look, Tyrone, I understand. Picking players is as important as coaching them. I agree with you. Whoever's doing it. It doesn't matter if it's the coach. Whoever's doing it, yes, obviously, you can only play with the players that, you know, you brung. So... So I get it.
He paused, and that was what he came up with.
I get it.
But I don't want people to think.
I was thinking of that thing, dance with a girl you brung, or whatever it is, that saying. Yeah.
Well, like I said,
no, your mic's not on.
Dance with the one that brought you.
When you go to the dance, you dance with the one who brung you.
Right.
Oh, it is brung?
Yes.
I never heard that before.
Yeah.
I thought it was brung.
I've heard brung.
Don't get me wrong.
No, it's an old football thing. It's like an SEC football thing.
It's an Everett thing.
It's a
Southern
thing. All right. Thanks, Tyrone.
He's
just going to keep talking, I guess.
South Everett.
Now, right?
Yes, the south side.
I agree with him on one sense, but it's a product of the NFL system. Does Peyton Manning have a great defense and a great running game? No. Does Aaron Rodgers have a great defense and a great running game? There's a certain formula in place that when you pay your quarterback $20 million, you're going to be a little different elsewhere. You're not going to necessarily be. And then the flip side is when you have a great starting quarterback who's a third round pick on his rookie contract, well, you have resources to do things elsewhere.
Yeah, there's something about the Peyton Manning offense, and that includes when he was with Indianapolis, that even Bill Belichick said, I mean, I don't know how they do it, but guys just seem to be running wide open in these offenses. You said it before about Indianapolis. I don't know how they get open, but they just seem to get wide open. And
but what Andy's talking about, though, that I think is worth bringing up is, you know, when you have a great quarterback like Russell Wilson, who was the third-round pick, you have the ability to spend money elsewhere, and they have the defense to augment him.
Yep.
Well, that was the Patriots' formula of success when they had a sixth-round quarterback.
Yep. Right.
And
right.
They had a great defense to augment it. They had a great quarterback who wasn't making a whole lot of money for a while.
Yeah.
You know, eventually he was, but not always. So there's something to be said for that.
There is something to be said about how you're able to allocate your dollars. I mean, the cap isn't crap, that's for sure.
Well, the cap is crap, but I just want to know what team. Because he just said Brady needs a GM who can give him a great running game and a great defense. Well, what team has a great running game, a great quarterback, and a great defense?
Right, no,
and
it's
it was
hard.
Just proven that the cap is crap because Andy just rattled off four or five teams that do it all different ways,
right,
but are stacked.
And you have to do it all different ways because you can't be great in all areas because of the cap. All right, let's go to Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey, guys. Hey, I got cut off or something.
All right, so, make it short. Because
I was thinking we already talked to you.
You already had some time, so just finish up. Just finish up.
It's going to be short.
Yeah.
Listen, our quarterback need to stop acting like a female, man. They got a perfect one pair of panties, man, that she likes, man, and everything else she just treated any kind of way.
Oh, you waited all that time just to say that? Come on.
No. No, but I want to say this, man.
I thought it was going to be short.
Brady need to give these guys a shot, man.
Okay, we agree. We agree. All right, Brady needs to give him a shot.
Now we did cut you off.
And in political correctness, we're not supposed to be doing those kinds of things anymore.
Panties?
No, saying he's acting like a girl.
Oh, that's true.
Because what does that mean? Acting like a girl if you're Jenny
Finch.
What's wrong? Have you seen those lines of acting like a girl when you're Jenny Finch is dominating the softball like no one before and striking out men?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
What does it mean to act like a girl?
Yeah, less than a man.
There's a lot of very strong-willed, successful women in this world.
That's true.
Brady's one of them. Just kidding.
See, now
he goes and ruins a perfectly nice moment.
Well, you know I couldn't have a serious
waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Josh writes in, what happened to Josh Klein? Based on how he was used in the 2013 season, I thought
Ron
he would have been in the mix to take Mankin's left guard spot this year. What happened to Josh Klein?
He's still around.
Yeah.
He got passed up by Devy, apparently. And he took the Daron Harmon approach. As soon as he became the presumed starter, he stopped being the presumed starter.
Did they use Klein at right guard at all?
No.
In practice? In practice.
Oh, in practice?
He's moved all those. Yeah. Center guard, left guard.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. I was going to say maybe he's only a left guard, but Cannon's better.
No, so, he's a five-tool talent.
Five-tool talent. Okay. Liam's in North Carolina. Hey, Liam.
Hey, guys. Just a couple quick things. Well,
great connection.
First off, that easy guy, Tyrone, man, there's so many people that want to talk about Belichick being a bad GM, but there's only been one other team other than us that's been perpetual favorites to go to the Super Bowl in the last 15 years, and that's a Manning team. So he's got to be doing something right if every year we're in the mix.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, he has Brady like that team had Manning.
Exactly.
I think it's all about the quarterback.
Well, the coach has got to do something right, too. Secondly, at the post-game show, I said something about being fine with the penalties. I want to change that a little bit. I'm fine with the penalties that are aggressive. It's the holding penalties on the offense that are really killing us. I think that's killing the drives, and that's not allowing Brady to really try to get it out to different receivers. He's got to fall back on Edelman and Gronk because we're keeping ourselves behind and not allowing that flow to happen that, you know, during the best years the team's had.
Yep.
They can't click because of the team stopping themselves and really.
Well, but isn't, a lot of offensive holding penalties happen for a reason. You're either going to hold or the guy's going to disrupt the play. That's kind of why you hold. You think he's going to disrupt the play. So I don't think it's solely about the holding versus not holding. It's good blocks. It's being in the right position. It's a good play, a good sound play. Because I would say, I assume at least 50% of the times if you hold, well, the guy you held was going to do something bad.
He got by you.
Yeah, he was going to do something that
might have. You're reaching.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Uh-oh Manawanui one was one of the greatest examples ever. That play happened because he decapitated that guy and threw him to the ground and held him. But that happens a lot. You know, offensive lineman, you hold because you think the guy's going to get your quarterback. You're trying right. to make sure your quarterback doesn't get killed.
Right. You'd rather take the 10
yards.
So it's
not just shooting yourself in the foot. It's the other team forcing you to shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah. But you know, you play a little better, you don't have to hold. So it goes,
right.
Yeah.
But to me, a false start is shooting yourself in the foot. That's just flat out. There is never a reason why you should false start. The other team shouldn't make you false start. The other team can make you hold them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember Haynesworth? Paul used to tell me every game how many holding penalties Albert Haynesworth would force.
That's right.
I do recall odes written to Albert Haynesworth for drawing a holding penalty against Miami.
And
never playing another snap in a Patriot uniform again, thankfully.
And I guess both parts just go to my final point, which is it seems the fundamentals are weak this year for some reason. And on the defense, I mean, we haven't been able to tackle for years. And I don't understand it. The first guy that's near, whoever's got the ball, just cannot seem to stop him, and it takes the second or third guy to stop the guy. And I think if we're to figure out how to tackle and just minimize those penalties that are hurting us, I think we'd be good to go. And, I mean, hopefully throughout the season they'll figure that out. And that's it, guys. Just a quick shout-out to the PFW Elite, best group on the Internet, and talk to you guys later.
Preamble to J.
That call took an interesting turn. He started defending Belichick the GM and ended criticizing Belichick the coach.
For the fundamentals.
Yeah.
Well, I think
that's coaching.
Poor
tackling and penalties.
The other way around.
Right. It's usually the opposite.
I think poor tackling is a league-wide problem. I think the teams that tackle best are the teams that are the fastest that get in position to make the tackle. And you know?
I co-sign.
You co-sign.
Thanks, Matt.
And that's a great point. Yeah. I co-sign.
He co-signed. Now he's going to go off on a tangent.
Maybe.
Noles,
I think it's
Paul,
easy to
Eric's
miss a tackle.
Big on geeky humor today.
I think it's easy
day,
to miss a tackle when there's a lot of green.
Right.
You know, it's a hard thing to do.
It really is.
You know, well, you know what? It really happens a lot, and I don't think a lot of people, when you don't have faith in your speed, you try to overcompensate. Whether it's an offensive lineman, false starting. Remember Mankins, when he was hurt, would false start all the time because he didn't have confidence that he could actually fire off the ball. When you're a corner and you're chasing a guy, you run by him when he stops because you were so worried about getting deep and not letting him beat you.
You're not paying
and it
attention.
Happens all the time with inside yeah. linebackers. When they're flowing to the ball, if they think the back is faster than them, a lot of times they overrun it because they don't have the, you know, the old high school stay on his inside hip and just flow with him. Well, if you don't have faith that you can stay with him, you overrun it and get exposed. So speed is a big factor in that.
And it's like, you know, when Hightower, I thought, did a really good job, and Mayo was involved in this too. They threw a lot of those shallow crossing routes, trying to get like backs, you know, a lot of short passes Minnesota did. And you look at it and say, well, Hightower did a great job tackling. Well, he was right on top of the guy as soon as he caught the ball. So there's no ability to make a guy miss. You have to catch the ball, and then as soon as you catch it, you're getting hit. So if you're that in that good a position, you're probably not going to miss a tackle. Whereas, like Andy said, if you're sort of chasing and you're behind and you're not trusting your speed or athleticism, you're always sort of lunging and mm-hmm. out of position and,
right.
and overcompensating.
But it's not just football.
And a good skill guy should always make you miss in that position.
Yeah, I think it's yeah. a hard thing to do.
It's also a cliche in all sports that speed overcomes a lot.
Yeah.
Now there are a lot
in
of,
any sport, whatever
lot,
it is.
There are a lot of missed tackles in the secondary that are a result of just poor fundamentals too.
Right.
I'm not eliminating those. Right. There's a lot of guys that go in. They, you know, a guy catches the ball with his back to him, and here comes the safety up to bury him. And all he's doing is hitting him with his shoulder. He has his arms at his side.
Right.
And the guy bounces off and he goes in for a touchdown or whatever.
Eric and mine, pet peeve, not wrapping up.
And Seattle's got the best of both worlds.
Because they're there so
fast.
They
know how to tackle and they're really fast. That took an interesting turn for Paul because he put it back on Belichick the GM because he hasn't brought enough speed in for tackling.
Oh, stop.
Interesting.
Noel in Denver's on the line. Hey, Noel.
I didn't spin it
the coach
way.
And GM getting a lot of
I think Belichick the coach is excellent. I think Belichick the GM is
a very, very good drafter.
Yeah, but there's other moves.
You going to let Noel talk? Or is?
Oh, hell, Noel.
Oh.
What's up,
hey,
Noel?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Great show.
Thanks. How'd you like the fire alarm?
Oh, I turned it off. Thank you.
I wish we could have turned it off.
I bet you do. Hey,
I look at this team. I still look at a team that is really trying to fill these spots together. I know this has been discussed, but they started out this way last year, and they brought it together, and I really think they'll bring it together even better this year than they did last year. What I have questioned about to you today, and I'll get off the line and hear what you have to say, is that, you know, these other teams, they go out and they pick up the Anquan Boldens and the Steve Smiths, and we go out to get the Brandon the LaFells. Could you explain to me could you tell me how much more money is this costing us, or would have this cost us, I mean?
To get somebody like Bolden or Smith?
And Boldens into this world.
I don't think it could have cost that much.
Bolden was a sixth-round pick or a seventh? It was a trade for the 49ers to get Bolden. The only thing I would say is hindsight, yes, you sound 100% right. But had they taken somebody like Steve Smith, who most people thought was done, people could have said they brought a guy aboard who clearly had nothing left.
Torrey Holt.
Instead, they brought a guy who's in his fifth year, who you could argue in a better offense with Tom Brady instead of Cam Newton, with more weapons around him, that he's an ascending talent hitting the prime of his career. So, yeah, hindsight being what it is, it looks like, okay, you went the cheap route and got the mid-level guy instead of the superstar who had something left, but I think you could flip that easily.
But I also think there were other options other than a Carolina Panthers receiver.
Oh, sure.
Like, I agree with your characterization is dead on those two guys. If I had to choose between Steve Smith or LaFell, I'd have taken LaFell. I thought Steve Smith was done. Now, he may indeed be done and just be having a little, you know, resurgence at the start
little
of the season.
Little Indian summer here.
You know, maybe he's in the twilight, but he's, you know,
I can't say that. Huh?
He's birdieing a couple of holes, down the stretch. But I'm not.
We got a lot of like yourself.
Yeah, a lot of sports.
Indian tonight. Summer, where he's birdieing a lot of holes down the stretch.
I didn't defend
that's
anybody
with the one
with
who brung you.
Well, I still think they're going to.
That would be Bo Jackson, huh? By the way. Handing what? The ball to Bo Jackson would be an example of dancing with the one who brung you. If you're Auburn football in the early 80s, you don't get fancy in the big game. You hand the ball to Bo Jackson. Did you watch last night?
No. Was it a new documentary?
No, it's I didn't the one see it I was telling later. You about.
Oh, I have that on tape.
Okay.
I haven't watched it yet, though. Oh, that was SEC Story.
All right,
not
Noel,
30 for 30.
Thanks for calling.
No. SEC Story, but it was on ESPN. I think it was on the Deuce.
I think I have it saved.
All right. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, right. Melvin.
What's up, y'all?
It is football related.
I got a quick question, then I'll get off. As far as the offensive line goes,
the farm.
Later on down this year, would you all feel like you have more confidence in the inside line, like, you know, understand the guards or the outside? Because I feel like, you know, you're going to get the Denvers to have a lot of pressure outside with the wares and the Von Mills and stuff like that. But, you know, after the continuity and stuff like that gets there, who scares you most, the outside tackles or the inside guys?
Inside guys.
Inside guys by a lot, yeah.
I've seen the outside guys have a lot of success and consistently be able to compete. I have major doubts about the inside guys. First of all, I'm not even sure who the inside guys are going to be when we reach that point in the season. But even Dan Conley, he is what he is. I've seen him been bitch-slapped around at times. The inside still worries me.
He can say that.
Thanks, though. Melvin. Yeah.
Did you happen to notice, you guys, when Tom Brady was talking about the feistiest players on the team included both Nate Solder and most
Dan
intense
Conley.
And Dan Conley.
Really?
Edelman.
Nate Solder, I would not have gotten to until about 48th on the list.
It was Edelman, those two.
Edelman doesn't surprise me.
No.
Edelman's
a feisty.
Yeah, Solder and
Conley. Nate Solder's one of the guys that if I had an infant and I needed a babysitter, I'd have Nate Solder be
a
babysitter.
He's like that big bear that you would hand the baby to. And
right.
We're just continuing with these.
Kindergarten cop.
Yeah. John from South Carolina is calling BS.
On.
He says, Paul. Eric, glad to see you don't have to come by later.
I don't think I've been here.
I call BS on the Brady negativity. I rewatched every single offensive play from the last game in coach's view and Brady threw to the open receiver most of the time. I know I'm not a coach, and I know I don't know what the play was designed to do, but Edelman is open more than the others. Brady did throw it to Gronk, Dobson, and Devlin. When there was someone else open, that person was Edelman. Brady was getting the ball out in close to 2.5 seconds. All of the plays that Amendola was on the field, he was completely covered when Brady made the decision to throw the ball, except the one where Dobson killed a guy. My theory is Brady doesn't trust his offensive line and is getting the ball out earlier than would be best. The idea that Brady doesn't like someone, so he is not throwing him the ball, is just plain stupid. All the negative crap about Brady being prissy and not passing someone the ball is BS. It is downright disrespectful. I think there was a caller or emailer that called Brady Mrs. Brady. Well, Mrs. is the reason this team wins games. So stop being such a tea waffle. I tell you what, if you guys can show me one play, just one play, where Amendola was open and Brady should have thrown in the ball and didn't, I will buy lunch. Note, you cannot use the play where Dobson killed a guy. So everyone complaining about Brady not throwing to Amendola and Dobson is saying, why isn't Brady throwing the ball to the covered receiver? Much of the reason the players are covered is because teams don't have to commit more than four down linemen to get pressure. Well, there's a good defense right there. What do you guys have to say? Speechless.
I think
John in South Carolina has you speechless.
I think he agrees with us more than he thinks. I think that he said somewhere in the middle of that, the ball is coming out in 2.5 seconds. He thinks it's because he doesn't trust his offensive line. I agree, and I think some of the people that are criticizing Brady for being less than tough, is that politically correct, Andy?
Sure.
are doing so because of that. And if you're going to get the ball out in 2.5 seconds or whatever it was very quick the other day. We all agree. Mm-hmm. It was like a lot of three-step drops, mm-hmm. bang, it's out. Where's he going with that? He's not looking for Amendola or LaFell. He's going to Edelman and Gronk because mm-hmm. he knows those guys. It's not about I'm not throwing it to Amendola because I don't like him. It's because he doesn't know what he's going to get from him. He doesn't trust him. That's the theory. It's not because he doesn't like him.
I think that's what people mean, though.
I agree. I think the emailer agrees with the consensus more than he thinks he does. I think John is sort of saying stuff in his defense of Brady that is kind of making the other people's point.
He is defending Brady.
I know, but I think he's making the other people's point for him.
But a lot of people are saying Brady shouldn't be that way, and he's saying Brady has every right to be that way because these guys just aren't open.
Yeah, well, I think in 2 seconds, he threw to a lot of covered receivers the other day, and a lot of them were named Edelman.
And Devlin.
And Dobson.
You just had to say
and Gronk. I mean, he threw to a lot of covered guys the other day. I'm not doubting that Amendola was wide open in the clear. I'll give you an example. In the AFC Championship game last year, the play that he threw to Slater, Amendola was wide open over the middle.
All right.
About a 15-yard play.
Buy us lunch, John.
No, thank you, John. No, I wasn't.
No.
He's just talking about the last two games.
And I'm not talking about that specific part of that. I'm just saying that I don't think anybody's suggesting that Brady's freezing people up because he doesn't like them. It's because he doesn't trust
them. Well, yeah. No, but
he doesn't like them on the football
right,
field.
Right. Not personally.
Right.
Right.
It's not personal. It's professional.
It's not a prissy thing.
Nick from Ripon, California. So I agree with the general consensus that Brady hasn't been playing well and doesn't spread the ball around well enough. But beyond that, I'm wondering how much of the offensive issues really amount to Brady issues. An even better question that I've been wondering about, how bad does Brady have to melt down this year, or for how long does he have to play poorly before you guys think Belichick would actually yank him for Garoppolo? Not saying I think that will happen. In fact, I'm hoping it doesn't, just wondering. No.
I don't think there's any chance of that
there's
happening.
There's no chance in hell.
This year.
No. Ever.
I don't Middle think of next year.
I don't think well, there's any ever, chance it could happen yeah. this year.
Yeah, not this
because
year.
Because the guy behind him is not ready.
But next year.
Now, I don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Next October.
The gap between... it really is. It's mind-blowing that we're even talking about when Garoppolo's going to play.
We didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
They did. These are our people. Yeah. We are an email-driven radio show. We go where they lead us.
Robin and Alaska.
Yeah, and you don't have to get, like, exasperated.
I do get exasperated.
But
because
why?
The gap between Garoppolo and Brady is freaking miles.
No,
right? It's
right
miles.
Now, right now. But
this
season. But you would have said the same thing in 2001.
Hey, that's right. Exactly right.
Between Bledsoe
and Brady.
No.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Because there's no way Jimmy Garoppolo could come in and complete 15 passes for 150 yards.
Honestly,
no way he could do that, right?
In 2001, I paid very, very little attention to the progress of Tom Brady.
Right, so you would have said there's no
way.
But
I am very, very closely paying attention to Garoppolo.
No, you're not. There is no. It's not possible for us to watch that now.
But, Ted, I'm not denying that there's a huge gap between Garoppolo and Brady right now. I agree with you. But I think you would have said the same thing in 2001.
Right, and I'd have been wrong because I wasn't paying attention to Brady. I didn't pay attention to Garoppolo all preseason and training camp.
I'm just saying, right now, and listen, Brady is 1,000 times better than Drew Bledsoe ever was. This is not a Drew. This is not a Paul.
No,
Drew
I know what you're saying,
thing,
Paul.
Okay? But there's a lot of stuff being said right now about Brady.
I know
that I remember being said on behalf of Bledsoe.
In 01, I agree, Paul, and I would have said that. I'm not denying it, but I would have said it out of ignorance.
And
I don't believe I'm ignorant of Garoppolo. I believe that I know where he's at, and it's not even in the same conversation.
Do you get my point?
Yes.
It's like there's a lot of defense of Brady right now that I recall hearing 15 years ago.
About Bledsoe?
Yes. Oh, it's the offensive line. He doesn't have time. He doesn't have enough receivers. There's no weapons. The defense
true.
Isn't good.
No, that's true.
It was everything.
I'll give you that.
I was one of the leaders of the group.
And your guy, Tom Curran, was the leader of the group.
Of the other
saying,
group, that he needs to go.
Right, saying Bledsoe needs to go.
Now, again, I want to restate this before I get attacked. Brady is 1,000 times better than Drew Bledsoe ever was. Even now. Even now. Okay, so I'm not comparing the two. I'm simply saying that there's a lot of defense of Brady right now that it's everything but Brady. And this is part of why Andy and I always, and usually it's in the offseason, we get in our arguments and, you know, we make fun of each other all the time. About 5 years after he retires is when I'll criticize him, says Andy, and I'll say, okay, I'll let you know when it's, you know, let me know when it's time and, you know, it's January and, you know, he doesn't play well, you know.
God forbid I give Tom Brady the benefit of
the doubt.
If
Brady ever got replaced now by Garoppolo, it would be the first quarterback in the history of the NFL that got replaced because of stubbornness. Because that's the only thing I can see what's holding Brady back right now.
I thought you thought his technique was funny.
Stubbornness, you mean like
not
throwing to
yeah,
throw the
if that's
receivers?
True. I mean, we don't even know. But that would be the only reason I could see him. Other than that, he's the best quarterback in the league, or at least top three.
But what if his stubbornness?
Well, why is he not statistically one of the best quarterbacks in the league for a while?
Because the offensive line stinks.
Right.
The weapons are questionable.
But this is not like two games. It's a while now.
Well, but Fred,
his numbers are declining for the last 5 years. Like completion percentage
right
and all.
Guard.
I mean, rating, touchdowns, they're all going down.
Okay.
Yeah. So is his talent.
But that's my point.
I don't think so.
No.
And that's my other point.
Wait, no. I didn't mean his talent. I meant the talent around him.
I think so.
Of course. Now I just agreed differently.
I wondered why he agreed with me so quickly.
Right.
But what if his stubbornness leads to a 10-2 record?
That's pretty good.
So then you wouldn't be pulling him for stubbornness.
Yeah, and none of us
wouldn't be pulling him, period.
Right. No. None of us think that we're going to get a quarterback change. So, I mean,
right.
We'll put
this year.
As Andy would say, we'll pump the brakes.
Andy says
that.
October of 2015.
I'm telling you, if he continues to complete 55% of his passes and they're throwing the ball 20 times a game, I agree with Andy. What's to say halfway through next year that anybody could do that?
Oh, boy.
PFW now reporting October 2015.
Robin in Alaska, I believe the issue with the receivers and Brady is that he throws to spots, not to players. Granted, that is part of playing quarterback, but Brady seems shackled by it. This offense seems like it needs a bit more backyard ball type of play. Side note, the fire drill music was rave-tastic. I felt like breaking out some glow sticks.
Oh, God.
What were you doing, the house music there, Kevin? Yep.
Wes Welker liked it, too.
It was the quickest CD I could get my hands on when we were scrambling out.
Okay, that's
now we're going to get in trouble for whatever we played?
I wasn't picky about our
the FCC. Sometimes safety comes first.
It was an emergency. A lot of people calling it NBA's ticket.
Lives at stake.
Balarco's in Los Angeles. Hey, Balarco. Polo!
Hey guys, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to change the topic a little bit, if you don't mind, and talk about the Raiders.
Sure.
I feel like a lot of people are just writing them off because they're a mess, but I feel like they have some talented players in there. I think Darren McFadden, like, he's still a very good runner, and they have this fullback called Reese. Like, mm-hmm. He's pretty good.
Yep. Marcel.
All those, like, James Devlin type of stuff.
Oh, come on.
He's a lot better than James Devlin.
And he's pretty good. And I also think that James Jones, even though he kind of fumbled a couple of times.
On one play.
And it was like it ended up in the blooper reel, but.
Did you see that?
He's still a freak, and also their defense looks pretty good. And I'm very interested to see how they use Khalil Mack.
I am intrigued by Khalil Mack. He is definitely one of the more interesting prospects coming out of the draft. Their defense has not been very good. They've given up 400 yards rushing in two games.
Number two against the pass.
With,
number 32 against the run.
And as Tom Brady said, teams have been having a little success running the ball against him. Even Tom Brady couldn't pretend that they're this great pass defense. And I think if you turned back the clock about 5 to 7 years, yes, they'd be a very good football team with all these names they have on their roster.
I do believe, Belarco, that you know a lot of the guys that you mentioned, I think they have some individually talented players, but they are a mess. And I watched a lot
Woodson,
of the game.
Woodley, Tuck, yeah. Those are some good guys a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's a who's who of, 2005 right. All-Star team, you know. But that's just a mess. They were really bad the other day against Houston.
Twice,
and that's a 2-14 team that pushed them all over the place.
Well, I think Houston isn't really that.
No, nah, Billy O'Brien's got that turned around.
They turned that right around.
That's a 500 team at best.
You think so?
Yes.
He's very negative.
They're not very good.
Thanks, Belarco.
Nor are you.
How long is Clowney out for?
Well, like six.
4 to 6, I think.
Is it really? Okay. We are getting a lot of inquiries about the new drug policy that they came up with and are going to agree to today. Welker had his suspension uplifted. It does not affect Tim's, as far as we know.
It was an uplifting suspension.
Well, they mentioned Orlando Scandrick, Wes Welker, and Stedman Bailey.
Right. The three Tim's guys that a browner. It will not affect.
Right.
As far as we know.
Now, do you want to know the loophole that we've already targeted?
Yeah. This already has whole. I mean, it's rare that a new policy comes out and immediately two idiots like Paul and Andy read it and find a hole in it.
Okay. Masking agents only get you 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. If you take a diuretic
or a
masking agent, it's only a 2-game suspension. If you get caught with steroids or
HGH.
A performance enhancing agent, it's 4 games.
Stimulants. So why wouldn't you take a masking agent?
Why don't you take all the steroids you could, make sure you take a masking agent,
yep.
And then roll the dice?
That you'll get caught for the masking agent,
yeah,
right,
but not the other
two games.
But what happens if you get caught for a masking agent the second time?
Oh, the same thing. It's the second. It's the 10-game suspension.
Right. Yeah. You could only do that once.
So that's
right.
I mean, they're all going to take the masking agent.
But right. No one gets caught, right? I mean, you usually get to play for a while. So let's just say, for argument's sake, you're on something for a couple of years. Then you get nabbed. You get your 2-game suspension. And you cut it back.
See, I would, and I know they could never do this, but I would love it if they. You know, put this policy in place today, and tomorrow, every NFL player has to be tested. All of them.
Well, they did say that HGH testing will be implemented by the end of the month.
Randomly. Yeah. So, like, two guys will get tested from each team in the next month.
But
how
does that happen? Andy brings up a good point. Like, who gets caught for HGH? For using it?
Anywhere. Ever.
Well, no one tests for it. You have to draw
the Olympics
blood.
Do.
Right.
I think baseball tests for it, and I'm pretty sure the Olympics test for it.
Really?
Yeah, no
one
catch anybody.
No one gets caught. You only get caught like Rodney Harrison did. And that's how all the baseball guys got caught.
Well, in football, you couldn't get caught because they literally did not test
for it.
They're implementing HGH testing.
Now they can.
But who has been caught using HGH? People get caught buying it.
Right.
But no one gets caught by a test.
Because in other sports, you mean?
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
crap, yes.
Well,
other sports are tested
Olympics
for it. The NFL's
right?
behind.
No.
They don't catch it.
The NFL's behind the ball, behind on the other sports on this stuff.
They're behind the D-ball.
Behind the D-ball.
How is that working? I haven't read enough of this.
What?
The HGH, it's random.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't read anything
and how
about
many?
How they're going to admit
see,
and
how
do you do
how
it?
Because you're
going to
take blood.
I've seen nothing in writing about
all
that.
All I saw was that the program is going to be conveyed to the teams by the end of the week,
yep.
And by the end of the month, they plan on starting HGH testing.
But we'll the piss man is here on Wednesday. Is there going to be a blood man?
It doesn't say.
I assume that's going to be outlined to the teams.
It just
at the
says
end of
testing
the week.
Will be fully implemented this season. Information on testing procedures will be sent to clubs and players within the week.
Yes, that was
just said.
I'll ask Sergeant Schultz in there.
Testing by the end of the month.
Yeah,
but I don't know how they're going to
go
about
plays out, how many it is, how often it is.
I don't even
think
only they should
weeks
tell.
Le- they're only two
Why
weeks
should
left
they tell
month,
the teams
so.
How it's going to and when?
Because it's collectively bargained.
But that means, they're only 2 weeks left. So if they're getting the info
really
this week,
serious,
they're going to be testing next
they're
week.
They're not, Fred.
I know.
You're
I know.
Under the impression players don't want to get caught. I'm under the impression the NFL
the
doesn't want to catch them.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Is I don't think that these leagues, and I don't hold the NFL by themselves. I don't think any of the leagues want to
catch
them.
No, they're all dirty. It's about drugs and money. Same thing about the rest of the world.
Let's go to Phil
in
London.
If they find out at the end of the month that Peyton Manning came back from that neck injury because of HGH, you really think that they're going to suspend him?
No, they'll change the rules. In London's on the line. Hey,
no
Phil.
No chance.
Hi, Fred. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about Shane Vereen.
Shane.
And I've got high expectations for him.
How about the player, Shane Vereen?
Shane Vereen.
Yeah, I don't think...
Don't tap around it.
Potential.
tipped.
Now, I look at something like Sproles and see what he did the other night and what he did in New Orleans, and you don't see those type of games from Vereen. Now, do you think that's because of scheme, or do you think he's not maximizing his potential?
Well, we did see a game like that from Vereen, the Jets game last year, maybe.
We've seen a couple good games him.
I forget. What was
He's had games where he's made some plays. He's had games where he's caught a lot of passes. He's never done it as free. I mean, Darren Sproles is one of the best at that role ever.
Yeah, I don't think he's like
it's not
Darren Sproles.
Vereen doesn't have the speed of Sproles.
No.
Well, I got to be honest here. I'll put Darren Sproles with Steve Smith. I thought Darren Sproles was done. I thought he was losing his speed. His numbers were way down in New Orleans recently. I thought he was done.
Really?
I didn't think. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I didn't think he was going to have this great year. And we'll see.
Was this a Kevin Falk?
Yeah, but wasn't it a usage thing? Remember they were complaining how they were.
I didn't
using
know that he had a down year last year.
Well, he did.
His numbers have been down.
But people are saying that they weren't using him.
Well, that's always the excuse. You're not using him right. You're doing this right. Why would they stop using him the way they used him when
anyway,
he was really good?
He obviously had a great game on Monday
night. Yeah, no, Shane Vereen is not Darren Sproles.
He's not that kind of player. Yeah. Like Darren Sproles at his best is a much different kind of player than Shane Vereen.
Shane Vereen errs on the side of he could do more physically than Sproles. He's not as game-changing. He's not as dynamic an athlete. But he, you know, you might get some first and second down carries from Shane Vereen because he's a little thicker, a little more traditional back. Sproles is a... I don't want to say
plug.
Gimmick because
he's
that
like
kind of makes
an,
he's a fire plug. Yeah, he's significantly better.
Yeah,
he's a rich man, Danny Woodhead, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, but isn't that what Shane Vereen was supposed to be?
Yes, on some level. There is no doubt that we are disappointed in Shane Vereen, I being at the front of that list. I thought he was going to be a much better player than he's been, but I do think he's shown flashes of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy had, if you prorate his stats from last year, was like knocking on like 100 catch season.
Well,
90
even last
catches.
Year in the Buffalo game, in the first game, he had a great game, and then
very
he hurt his wrist.
Broke his wrist.
Yeah, right. And that's what Andy's talking about. He has the ability to be a ball carrier that I don't think Sproles really has. I don't think you ever want to give Sproles more than 3 or 4 carries in a game.
And if he could catch the wheel route, you'd have a lot more plays to think back on,
now,
too.
The critics would say, I don't want to give Vereen that many carries either because he'll get hurt.
Right.
Which
do they certainly
he got? Not? He got 14. He got 14 in that game, and he broke his wrist.
Oh come on! He just broke his wrist. It happens.
Is that his only injury?
No, it isn't.
So when he gets hit, he generally breaks.
So does Gronkowski.
Okay.
Right.
He's injury prone too.
So we're not going to throw the ball to Gronkowski because when he gets hit, he breaks. So we can't throw it to him.
Well, I didn't
he breaks.
Say don't. When did I say
he
don't throw
say
it to
that.
Him?
But he's saying you can't give him the ball because he had the ball 14 times and he broke his wrist.
I don't want to give.
There is
Shane
no
Vereen
direct equation that takes you from 14 carries to a broken wrist or a broken Shane Vereen.
Except that it happened.
Right.
Multiple times.
So Gronkowski. So don't give him the ball.
I think you get a little bit more out of throwing the ball to Gronkowski than you do giving.
You have people on the show about resting him.
I'm pointing at Eric with two fingers.
Right. So you see how he can yell at me and then direct it right to you.
You have people making that argument.
That's a gift. Reza Ramon.
That's a gift. That's a gift right there.
Thanks, Phil. Phil from London calling in. Let's go down to Florida. Hey, Rob.
Hello.
Rob.
What's up, guys?
I'm still trying to get my head wrapped around the comparison of Gronkowski and Vereen.
Shut up.
That guy that sent out the email talking about Brady and all the other receivers being covered hit it right on the head, dude.
John in South Carolina. Yep.
Right.
It was a manifesto if I've ever read one.
Right. He's an incredible quarterback. He's a world-class quarterback, and everybody should talk like he is, too. You know what I mean? I mean, the guy, you know, he got 3 Super Bowl rings for the team. I mean, I can't say enough about him. Give the guy a freaking break.
Remember when he threw those 2 touchdown passes of back-to-back weeks with a broken finger? He was an unbelievable quarterback.
Also, I was listening. I downloaded this app on my phone. I'm so happy I found you guys, first of all.
Well, welcome aboard. We love you.
I was listening a couple days ago, and they were bashing Stephen Ridley. The guy rushed for 100 yards. Give the guy a break. You know what I mean? They're saying that, you know, somebody was saying that they should drop him and get a better running back. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Wait, who was saying that? I don't recall that at all.
Not on this show.
Was it Rook?
No, it wasn't this show?
No.
Okay.
Bolden. People have been ripping Bolden up and down the street.
And don't forget, Rob, on Mondays, WEEI takes over our airwaves. So
we're not responsible for what those idiots say.
And no one on EEI was saying that they should cut Stephen.
Oh, okay.
Spoken
okay,
like a man who wants another gig.
No, but I mean, yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. But
why I wouldn't like say that.
Mike Reese said something in August that he said that he didn't have him on one of his roster projections, and you would have thought that he didn't have Brady on his roster projection based on the way the radio stations reacted right. to it. There's no way.
No, you would have thought the Patriots didn't have them on their roster projections.
Coming off a 100-yard game that people on talk radio were saying, they got to get rid of that right. Ridley. He didn't do anything special. But
I did hear Bolden getting a lot
Bolden, for some reason, was the whipping. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Bolden gets killed.
Tough week.
What happens if we play Oakland and they put double coverage on Edelman and then it opens up the other receivers for passes? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you said that all those other guys are covered.
Yeah, I know. But if they put double coverage on Edelman.
Somebody has to get over
game.
Why? Double coverage on Edelman doesn't mean no coverage on the other guys. No, if they're covered, they're covered.
Somebody should be able to get open.
Right.
Well, somebody should be able to get open on every play.
I think guys are open. That's kind of the point that I'm trying to get at. Right. I know that everybody, you know, he doesn't throw it to anybody else.
But you
and I
hate
think they're
Brady.
Covered. It's not hating Brady. I just like to look at the whole picture and not just a little part of it.
Yeah, I want him to spread that ball out more than ever, guys. Trust me, I really do. But you know, we don't see the games. We don't see him in his eyes. You know what I mean?
Right. I see the whole field.
All right, Rob. Thanks for the call. VIP.
Well,
so
he did say 2 weeks ago, if I don't trust you, I'm not going to look to your side. Yeah. He's on the record as saying that.
And you know,
he never said that before.
You know what the ironic part is?
What?
Brady is saying all the things that people have been critical about, and yet everybody is still defending Brady.
Right. He's saying
Brady's the one who was
more.
Pissed off after the game the other day.
Right.
Brady's the one that made the comment that Andy just said about, if I don't trust you, I ain't throwing it to you.
Right.
Brady's the one who just spent the whole thing, yeah, I have faith in Amendola.
And Belichick's the one who's
saying,
as
his nose grew like the guy in the Geico commercial.
I see nothing but winners.
I see nothing but winners.
Oh, no.
I mean, that was really good.
But Brady is the one who's saying these things.
I know.
That's
and
why,
Belichick.
That's why it was so striking to us after the game. Andy and I were like, did they win? They won this game 30-7, right? As we were listening to it on the postgame show.
That's what kind of put it was an eye opener. The flames here. VIP Stripper says Chow Sonnen tested positive for HGH.
Oh, him.
He's a UFC guy.
Who he?
Oh, it's a UFC guy. It's not even an Olympic guy.
Right. UFC guy. Nick wants to know, why was Tompkins inactive on Sunday?
Because Dobson was active.
They needed Dobson.
Healthy scratch.
Because as much as you people think Kenbrell Tompkins is the second coming of Jerry Rice, he's a borderline receiver on this football team.
I do like this show, though, because the last caller just sort of illustrated it. You can look at the same things, and different people have different views. You know, the receivers are all covered. And then the next call, why was Kenbrell Tompkins deactivated? Well, evidently he didn't think he was being covered. I think you can look at it a lot of different ways, and you come out with different opinions.
Nick from Illinois, I'm listening to yesterday's episode, and Paul mentioned that it seems like we're throwing a lot of deep balls on third down. I actually agree, except when it's, say, third and eight or longer, then we run it up the middle and get off the field. Seriously, I like McDaniels.
I agree with that, too.
But I can't figure out what the heck he's doing on third down.
Yeah, I just would not put that on McDaniels. Again, I'm going to get the guy who's responsible for it is the guy who's doing it, Brady.
It's funny how that is, huh? When they win, it's Belichick and Brady. When they lose, it's McDaniels and Patricia. Win, Belichick, Brady. Lose, McDaniels, Patricia.
Pat from Agawam. Funny. Good afternoon, guys. I'm not sure if any of you guys were listening to EEI's Dennis and or Dale and Holly yesterday. But Jerry Thornton pretty much said everything you guys said on the show yesterday verbatim.
I'm usually not in line with Jerry Thornton.
Nah, he's been.
I'm funny. He's not.
He was. A little
I know football. He doesn't. Oh,
he was a little critical yesterday of the offense.
Louis in Florida. Paul's always been my favorite because of his honesty and the fact he's not always waving the pom poms like Fred. And he's not.
That's why Fred's always been my favorite.
And he's not a rude DB like Andy or Eric. Wow.
Hey! I was okay being called a rude DB, but like Eric, I'm not okay with that.
But why last episode did he refer to Tim Wright as some undrafted wide receiver turned tight end when he led his tight end draft class in receiving yards? So why don't we just call that whole draft class a bunch of Jags? And why don't we call Edelman some Jag quarterback turned wide receiver, or call Tom Brady some sixth round Jag who was a backup in college?
Your Edelman one's a bad example because Paul would call him loose change.
I would, and I would also say, when did either one of those other
He'll
guys...
He'll never give that one up.
But when would either when was Brady or Edelman going to get cut?
Right.
Tim Wright was going to get cut. For all the wonderful production he had last year, Tampa Bay went out and signed a free agent tight end and drafted one in the first round. That's how good they thought Tim Wright was. They were going to cut him.
And I'm not sure you can equate him to his draft class. He wasn't drafted.
And forgive me for
so
my
he doesn't have a draft
forgive
class.
Me for my
it's
ignorance.
A rookie class, it's but rookie not a draft class. Yeah.
Forgive my ignorance, but who were the other tight ends in the draft class last year?
I don't know, Paul. You know I forget know. Those things as soon as I, you know.
As soon as the draft ends. Yeah.
Pretty much. Although I do know he's one of, what is it, eight players with 50 or more catches as a rookie tight end or something.
Listen, he had a solid rookie year. I give him 54 catches, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's a good rookie year for anybody, undrafted or first round tight end. That's a good year.
I tell you,
but
people.
But he was in a position where he was going to get the ball thrown to him by a rookie quarterback. He's going to throw the ball to his tight end.
And Paul's sources on the ground in Tampa told him that Tim Wright's not very good.
These could be
that's my source on the ground.
These could be true Patriots fans.
Not an unnamed source. Oh, now no, he was willing to put it out there.
He was
put himself
anyway.
Out there.
These could
Anthony
be
McFarland, Anthony McFarland. Okay.
These could be Patriots fans, or they could be trolls. But another emailer says, in the beginning, the media anointed
there
Tom
was man.
Brady.
There will be light.
His favorite receiver was the one open.
Yep.
He took street free agents and made them a value at the receiver position.
Yep.
He was the reason they won Super Bowls.
Yep.
Now. When he doesn't succeed, it's because the O-line isn't giving him time. The
yep.
receivers aren't good enough. Josh
yep.
doesn't call the play right.
Yep.
So when the team succeeds, it's all Tom. When the team fails, it's someone else's fault.
Yep. Well said.
Tell you, I don't know if he's a troll or a Patriots fan, but people are saying these things.
They've turned on Tom Brady. You know what? Turn in your pink hat. And I don't even use that phrase.
Unbelievable. Maurice is in South Carolina. Hey, Maurice.
Mo!
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. Good.
Hey, I was wanting to make two comments. The first one, you know, our passing game is stagnant. I was wondering what you guys think of having Shane Vereen and James White on the field at the same time to kind of create some mismatches and get our passing game some added dimension. And secondly, I'd like to see Dante Hightower consistently putting his hand in the dirt, rushing the passer on third down instead of being exposed into our pass coverage. I just wanted to get your guys.
Dante Hightower with his foot, hand in the dirt on third down.
Agreed. Right. And Hightower would agree with you.
It's and he's been saying. Doing that for the most part.
He's been talking about it all spring.
Had a good game.
And every time I write about him, I say that he talked about it all spring.
Well, first of all, James White needs to get on the active game day roster to be in a dual yep. threat backfield with Vereen.
Healthy scratch 2 weeks.
A gimmick?
Although
I mean,
a
mix up? What's that?
Never mind. Go ahead.
Who's he talking
to? I don't know.
We're talking about James White.
I know.
I was saying he was a healthy scratch the last 2 weeks, but he did have a little medical thing before the game with in Minnesota.
Okay. So
I know not what of you speak.
He and Alfonso Denner were going through the pregame medical evaluation on the field.
And he wasn't just helping Denner
thought,
get a workout
I thought
or something?
I thought it looked like that's what he might have been doing, but... What? They were then testing them.
Was it a bumpy flight to Minnesota? How did everybody get hurt?
You know what? It's funny you bring that up. What was Denner listed with?
Nothing.
Okay. I have a theory.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
And you know how Bill is, let's say.
Clueless?
He's got his own rule book of, you know. No. Listen. He's got his own set of rules when it comes to respecting other teams and coaches and. You know, doing the right, that etiquette among coaches.
Okay.
Do you think that there's any chance, because Alfonso Denner punched a cop, spent a month in jail, and didn't get any suspension?
Wow,
good. Do you think that there was any chance that he was a symbolic gesture, I'll hold my guy out because you held your guy out?
No, but you are phenomenal. That is absolutely fascinating that your mind thinks that way.
Wow.
That is awesome.
I think
there's no chance, but that's awesome. No, it really is that you would think about that because that
I
is...
Would.
That is like eight layers there. That's really good.
Yeah.
No, I don't think
I don't
chance.
Put it past him.
No chance.
No chance? What was he listed then?
He wasn't with anything.
Right.
But neither was James White.
He tightened up on, he barked.
Okay.
Something barked at him on the plane.
All right. Okay. I just, that came to my mind.
Rough landing?
You know?
Did he bounce a little?
My guy didn't have to, serve anything. As a courtesy, I'll extend that to you.
And if start doing that all year long, I mean...
Does that really make sense to you, that he would do that of all people?
Yes.
He does have
He held out Wes Welker for saying some stupid jokes.
That was his rule.
Yeah.
Not the geniuses at the league's rule.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
There's a huge difference.
But he is something about, you know, these rules aren't fair, blah, blah, blah. And, you know,
I'd be more apt to go with you if you told me that he did something that we don't know about that bothered Belichick. And he sat him out for that.
Well, that could happen,
but see,
too.
Now,
what's the whole horse and pony show?
Well, yeah. I think it was a shoulder injury, and that's why he didn't play.
I have trouble with that.
I don't think there's any show that we don't know about. I think he has a shoulder injury. He had surgery in the offseason, and
well, why was he not on the injury?
Why
would, yeah. It didn't flare up until Saturday or Sunday?
I like to tell you what I think of the injury report, and I don't think anything of it. And
all right. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Matt in California. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up? What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Great.
All right, so I just got out of class. I haven't been listening to this show, but I got a couple of good points here.
I'll let you know. Well, yeah.
On the offensive side, I'm gonna give him a pass to week 8. Traditionally, Belichick teams, they're the best after week 8. So I'm gonna just give him a pass. Even though I shouldn't be as lenient. I'm just gonna give him a pass.
Not offensive.
We'll wait.
Defense.
Right. Because we have Rob Gronkowski, but in week 8 we will have Gronk. That's my projection. My other
Hope
point
so.
Is that I don't know. Because we are so traditionally seeing Brady and Manning and always seeing Brady, what are you looking more forward to? Calvin Johnson versus Revis or Brady and Manning?
Brady Manning.
Or Manning.
They never disappoint. They never disappoint. Brady Manning are some of the greatest games in like rivalries or.
I'm going to go with Calvin Johnson and Revis.
I'm not. Yeah, you know why? I think it could get ugly.
No, because they won't put Revis on Calvin Johnson.
You don't think Revis?
They'll double
cover?
Up on Johnson and put Revis on the other guy.
Well, then we wouldn't see it.
Right.
So
yeah.
Then that won't be what you know.
Wait, if it were, ugly?
Huh?
You think Revis?
Because I've watched Mike Wallace and Greg Jennings lose him.
I
don't know.
No one can cover Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, when did Greg
no
Jennings
one.
Lose?
No one.
Not even our. It's a bad matchup, Paul.
But Greg Jennings is 111, so there's that too.
Mm. Oh, and he lost him a couple times. There was one that hit him right in the hip when Revis was at least 6 yards behind him.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I remember that.
For Matt's point, I would rather see the Revis Johnson. No, there's no guarantee. You're right, Fred. There's no guarantee that we will see it because they might decide
we
to double
we were
team.
We're going to see Revis Patterson.
The world could end.
See, I thought it was going to be Jennings in that game,
not
but.
To be that. Pessimistic, Andy.
Because I don't think Patterson's good enough for that.
Yeah, and
he's not a receiver.
Guys, I was just saying, if on the week 4, like, I'm just trying to project, like, who's going to be the 4? We have the 3-4 guys, the 3 guys that we have 3 weapons, Vereen, Edelman, and Gronk. I'm just trying to figure out what's the 4th one. I'm just going to see for week 8. Which one's going to be? I'm going to project. I'm probably going to say
Dobson.
I'm going to say probably, I don't know, Dobson or Amendola, but I'm going to lean towards Dobson because Amendola, Brady just obviously does not like him for some reason.
I don't know if that's obvious. That's not obvious. There's people reporting that. The Boston Globe has been hot on that.
Right.
But Tom Brady has not said it.
It's one of those things you say it over and over and over
becomes
again.
Becomes true.
And people think it's true. Well, but
and it may be true.
We have no proof of that.
Of
no.
What? I'm sorry. I missed.
But Brady said. Not liking Amendola.
Oh, that there's something there.
Yeah.
If we went with every rumor we heard, that we'd have a lot more to talk about.
Yeah. So that's all I got today, guys. So just
that was good.
All right. Thanks,
get back
Matt.
To class. Go do your homework.
Raphael writes in, knowing what we know now, Belichick was misusing Chandler Jones and putting him in a position where he was not able to utilize his abilities. Has it crossed your minds that all that maybe did the same thing to other players, that he did that to other players that are not here anymore?
Yes.
Players that we call Jags or busts. And the reason why we might not have thought of it is because they weren't first-round picks and didn't come in with notoriety.
Yes and no. I mean, it's a hard argument to make.
It's a hard argument to make, and everybody has told us, players and everyone else, that Belichick puts you in the position to succeed.
Right.
So that, you know.
And not too many people have left and succeeded. Like they were misused, and all of a sudden somebody figured out how to use them. You know, Adalys Thomas is the guy that, okay, did they misuse him? Certainly by the end, we were talking about him being the run-stuffing outside linebacker.
But
he didn't get to pass.
Or,
he never did anything ever again.
Never played again. No.
So. I mean, that's hard to make that argument, and I'll be honest. I thought we were sold a bill of goods. I can remember in the very first season watching him chase tight ends like Revis chases Mike Wallace and saying, this guy can't cover like they said he can cover. He's not as fast as they said. He's got a little Dante Hightower in him that way. But who are the guys that have gone on and had this great success because they were misused here?
Well, no, but guys have gone on and had success.
Because they were misused, I don't know if there's an example.
Who've had success here and then still gone on and had success, but not that they've been misused and gone on.
Right. Like, everybody likes to point to Butler. Well, Butler's a backup corner, and he bounced around a couple times before he even landed as a backup corner in Indy.
So, yeah, that's not what a fair comparison.
Robert in West Virginia. Hey, Robert.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I was calling in because I was wanting to talk about Brady.
Okay.
I've been a fan of his since he was at Michigan, and that's where I started watching him at. But as for this game this past week, from watching it from the first week, I think his biggest problem is trusting the O-line. It looked like he had some happy feet more than normal.
I don't know about the happy feet, but I think he definitely has some trust issues with the offensive line.
As he should. He got whacked around pretty good in week one. So, I mean, that's collateral damage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody's been talking about his trust with the receivers and everything, but it just looked like he was a little more wanting to get the ball out quicker than he was given a chance to go through his progression.
Yes, but that also seemed like the game plan. I mean, he's not the guy that's drawing up three-step drops. Right?
Yeah.
That's Josh McDaniels. Now, Josh McDaniels might not trust the offensive line and might be focused on getting rid of the football quickly.
See, that's the part of it that has me concerned.
What?
I want to wait a little bit to see if this was just strictly a Minnesota thing, because we know how different their game plans can look.
Correct.
But they were so starkly different from week one to week two in the way they threw the ball. Not just how often they threw it, the way they threw it. And people are alluding to the third and long runs. Is that are we doing that more because we just don't trust the protection?
Well, I'm
concerned about that.
No one ever lost by punting, Paul.
But they've been doing that for a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Tom Brady runs the ball on 3rd and 10? For a long time we've been doing that?
No, the draw up the middle, and people complained about that for years.
I must have missed it then, because I don't recall Brady not throwing for first downs on 3rd and long.
It's been a complaint.
It's been a complaint.
Yeah.
As much as they've done it this year already?
Well, but it's only 2 games.
Yeah. But it's every 3rd and long.
I know, but it's only 2 games. How many 3rd and longs have they had in 2 games?
I remember
too many, if you ask Bill.
No, I agree, but I'm just not willing to make these grand, like, long-term projections off.
Well,
of 2 games.
I started the whole thing by saying I want to see what happens next week, because it may have been just strictly Minnesota. What we saw against Minnesota, they wanted to do for that game, and that's why it was so different than Miami. But to me, it's hard to overlook. They did this against Miami. It was an utter disaster. We got to change things because they can't handle it. So we did it this way against Minnesota.
But this
That's
week,
what I'm concerned about.
Don't you
about.
Think they're going to run the ball again this week because their run defense blows?
Yeah, but is it going to be every pass going to be a 3-step drop and get the ball out as fast as it can so Brady doesn't get killed?
Maybe.
He's acting like me a lot.
I'm a little worried about that. I
like
am.
There's Tony started talking fast there, pushing me into
a little,
corner.
I'm a little concerned about it. I am. I don't think that they've solved any of the questions we had going into the season on the offensive line. None of them have been answered yet.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed is I go sit here and make excuses for Brady, but on 3rd, like even 3rd and shorts or 3rd and mediums, I don't know what it is about McDaniels, but he keeps making calls to where, like, it's so clear down the field rather than short, you know, slant patterns. And it's like, how do you expect to get the conversion if you're doing something like that with little receivers? I mean, it ain't like Randy Moss out on the, you know what I mean, on the outside.
They have taken some shots on those 3rd and, like you said, short and medium once, you know, a couple of them anyway.
Yeah. I want to give up on it. They excel at that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they, I mean, they're trying stuff. They're feeling themselves out. We'll see. All right, Robert, thanks for the call. Jason in Maine, want to get some more emails in before the end of the show.
A lot of emails.
Want to get your opinion, some thoughts I had during the game Sunday. One, first drive of the 3rd quarter. Why go for such a low percentage play deep to Edelman, just talking about that, on 3rd and 2 at the 50?
It's a shot play.
Yeah. Well, it's a shot play. It's
part of it is they don't
when
think
they hit it, then it's like, genius!
But part of it is they don't look at it as a low percentage play.
Right. They think that
they have something and they've set something up and they've taken a shot. Like Andy said, just shot play.
And they're not good enough down the field. They need to do it in creative ways if they're going to make some plays down the
field.
It's
just not going to be one guy purely beating another guy.
That's the Brian Morey thing I was talking about yesterday. He was very upset about that. And 3rd and 2 doesn't just mean you run a 3-yard out and you get an automatic first down and you say, okay, now we can take a shot. Well, now they're kind of ready for the shot. It's for, you know, it's a down and distance that you would take a shot. Part of it is, 3rd and 2, they're not really expecting that. Now, you can make the argument they don't have the personnel for it and all different things like that. Brady hasn't thrown those passes very well lately. There's a lot of different things that you could go at, but I think there's too much focus on the actual play call.
This defense seems to live and die by the turnover. If we don't take it away, the other team scores. Not really much in between.
Well, fortunately, they're taking it away a lot, most in football. Right? 7 takeaways, correct?
Right.
That's the most in football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't like it when we show we're afraid of a player like Patterson during kickoffs. Just kick the ball and play good coverage. What did you think about that? They squibbed it at the end rather than letting Patterson return it.
I don't understand why he can't just boom it through the end zone. I don't want to let Patterson return it.
No, but remember it was the penalty.
Yeah, I know. So it's 5 yards back. He was kicking field goals on kickoffs all day. They go 5 yards back, and we have to squib it, so we get you on the run at the 10.
Well, I mean,
he was putting it in like the third row of those seats.
That was the only return he had the whole day.
I know. Obviously, they didn't want to take a chance. What do you think about that?
I don't want to take a chance putting the ball in a dynamic return of his hands.
So I agree with the call. And why the hell?
I mean, but I wouldn't squib it. I would boom it through the end zone.
But there's a chance from the 30 you might not be able to.
Well, right. I'd rather do that than squib it and give him to the ball. Because at the 30.
He might have had like the proverbial green light. I don't care how far back in the end zone you catch us. We need points. Take a chance. So, and that might have been what we were thinking.
I would rather have a guy return the ball from 9 yards deep in the end zone than the 10 on a squib.
Yeah, but it's not going to be Patterson returning it. That's
Patterson
the point.
Returned it.
Oh.
I don't like squibs. You're not going to generally return a squib for a touchdown. I will say that. Late in the half, late in the game, I have no problem with that.
Nathan from Southern California, any concerns that our offense will suck worse than last year? Gronk looks pretty tentative out
Here's where I'm going to turn it to Fred. Third in the league in points.
We only have one go-to guy, which has only had one healthy season. I guess he means Edelman. And we lost our bruising running back that took a little bit of pressure off the QB and his receivers. I was hoping that Dobson, having one more year in the acquisition of Fells, would boost our passing game. But I'm nervous that we have the same Brady of late. When the going gets tough, keep forcing it to the slot receiver, the safe receiver. Well, this is what we've been talking about. So.
Right. Pretty much all of that is true. Now, I don't know if you give up on Dobson. You probably give up on what could have been had he had a full off season, but you don't give up on he might be the third receiver in 2 weeks, 5 weeks, 8 weeks.
I'm willing to be a little bit more patient with Dobson because of what Andy said.
Well, it's kind of been our talking point of lately, too. I've been arguing with everybody and what the other guy said, the caller. You know, come week 12, who's going to be the three? Is it going to be Dobson? Is it going to be Amendola? Those are sort of the main options. People don't really seem to give Brandon LaFell a lot of potential.
Victor writes in.
Victor.
He's from California. How does week two compare to week one? Miami being a divisional rival and Minnesota being Minnesota. Is the win relevant enough to say that the Patriots have improved because of Minnesota being a decent team? I've heard some fans say that we shouldn't think so much about it because it was Matt Castle. How do you guys feel about that? I there's really not a lot to be gleaned yet. It was Matt Castle. It wasn't Adrian Peterson. On the other hand, it was Miami 35 degrees warmer with high humidity. I mean, all those things, it's hard to compare those two games.
And I'm not willing to say that Ryan Tannehill isn't Matt Castle. I think they might be middling quarterbacks.
He was kind of Matt Castle that day.
No, but I'm just saying in general, when you look back on history, you know, 5 years, yeah, they were both kind of middling. They started some games. They won some games. They lost some games.
I would also say it's just a couple of weeks into the season. We had I don't know if it was a call or an email a little while ago saying, you know, let's wait. I'm going to give him until week eight. It is. It's very early in the season, and for as much talk as there was in the offseason about how the scoreboards were going to get lit up, we really haven't seen that throughout the league. We haven't seen record-setting point totals. Like, what did you say, Andy? There was only 200-300-yard passes. Least amount since 2010 in 1 week. And one of those 300-yard passes was the Monday night game. So they went the whole schedule of games on Sunday with only one.
And that put it back even further to like 08 or something.
Remember the person I said, I don't know if this is a Patriots fan or it's a troll. I don't know, you know, the email he sent. He writes back, Fred, I'm not a troll. I've been a Patriots fan since 1975. When you were cheering for Elway, I was rooting for the Patriots.
Wow.
That's a good shot right there.
That's a good shot back
there. A win for the troll.
That's why I read it.
Except for you're wrong. It was Joe Namath he was rooting for at the time, 75.
That's why I read it.
Oh, that's true. He hadn't moved on to Elway yet.
He hadn't moved to Elway yet.
John's here with the playbook. Hey, John.
Oh, hey, Fred.
What's going on? How was Nitpick Tuesday?
Nitpick Tuesday was nitpicky.
Did you say Ridley sucked and should be cut or something?
Yeah, you didn't say
no.
that, did you?
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Some guy was claiming somebody on this station, quote
Somebody
unquote,
said that?
Said that we needed to upgrade. Ridley wasn't good.
It must have been Bob Soucy.
No, I'm only, he's right there. You
I know. I'm only kidding.
No, Vinny, that sounds like something Bob would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very negative. Yeah,
right.
Very
be
negative.
Very nice about it, but, you know, no, he sucks. He's going to go.
No.
No, absolutely not. In fact, I'm one of the ones that's kind of defended him a little bit. So.
Yeah. Well, right now, it's easy to defend him for 1 week anyway.
He held on to the ball.
Ran hard 100 yards, 20 yards.
He ran hard.
Ran hard.
Earned every yard he
earned everything.
Yeah. That all goes right down the pisser if he puts the ball on the ground against Oakland.
He does.
Sure he does. But I think that's just the way it is for a lot of people, you know? You don't do your job 1 week, then it's up to somebody else to step in and try to do it.
Yep.
Everybody has to understand, and this is probably why this team plays so much better when they have a little bit of urgency behind it, you know?
Good news is Oakland's given up 400 yards on the ground and 5 yards a carry.
Oakland is a huge enigma. I realize that their defense, you know, statistically speaking, as you just pointed out, isn't very good, but they do seem to have some decent pieces to the puzzle.
They've always had talent. They've had individual talent there. High in the draft.
John, you know what Scott Pioli said. Yeah. It's not about collecting talent. It's about building a team.
They get a lot of young, talented guys, and they got a lot of old talented guys.
Yeah, maybe that's just an eclectic mix that doesn't work too well. But you know, you got a coach that's defensive minded and you know, seems to have come from the Belichick school of things, and clearly, I mean, he's got to be, you know, Dennis Allen's got to be, you know, behind the eight ball a little bit this year, you would think.
His bum might be starting to get warm soon.
Yeah, I would think so, especially if you don't start converting some of the,
you know, how those Davises are.
The prospects in the
town. Some have said he's not going to make it to London. I guess they go to London the week after they play us.
They come they apparently leave for London, from what I understand. Understand right after the game on Sunday.
And some said he may not make it to London.
Wow.
So they're just going to leave him here?
All right, John's with the playbook.
And knowing them, they'll probably make him pay his way back.
Stranded
home
in Foxborough.
Yeah, Patriot Place having burgers.
Playbook from 2 to 4. Bob Soucy Show from 4 to 6. We will see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.